Okay, so we're going to be exploring using the load testing tools of Visual Studio Team system to actually put load on web applications. So first off, you're going to need a web test, and I've got a web test already created here. And what it is a web test that tests my application. My application is a job board site that actually allows you to search for jobs, post jobs, and so forth. And I'm going to go ahead and run this web test real quick just to validate that my web test does work. You'll see that my web test goes ahead and successfully passes, right? And what it does is this is a web test that tests the login process on my web server. So it actually goes out and logs in. So let's go take a quick look at that. You'll notice it's hitting the login page, it's passing in a username and a password here, and just going through that process. So if I want to load test this, I'm going to come over here to my solution, and notice I have a test project in my solution called Job Board Application Tests. All tests must exist within a test project in Visual Studio. I'm going to simply right-click and say I want to add a new test, and I'm going to add a load test. And I'll call this my moderate load. Click OK. And that's going to go ahead now and actually let me run through a wizard to create my load test. I'm going to hit Next. Give this a scenario name, and I'll call this moderate load. And you can use the recorded think times for your web test, or you can actually take a distribution on those think times if you so choose. Or you can not use think times at all. Think times is how long you sat there when you're doing the web test recording and pause between sending requests to the server. I'll take a normal distribution. You can also set up a think time between the iterations that you have here. So you can actually set that up as well to where as you go through one login, you want to pause before going to the next one. Hit Next. You can set up either a constant load or you can set up a step load. If you want to know, can my server handle X number of users, I would do a constant load right here. If I need to actually just determine how many users can my server support, which is different than can my server handle X number of users, then I would do a step load. And what a step load allows me to do is actually set up that I want to start with a particular number of users, 10 users, and then every 10 seconds, I can bump that up by 20 users up to a maximum of, say, 400 users. Okay? When I do this and hit Next, it's now going to ask me for which tests I want to run and I can add. The load testing engine allows you to run any type of automated test. So I could run unit tests, I could run web tests, I could run database unit tests. You get a lot of flexibility here, in fact. I've only got that one web test, so I'm going to select that and click OK. Notice there is a percent in a distribution. If you have multiple web tests that you want to run, you can in fact put different load on those. So, for instance, maybe the login process is a lot more commonly used on your website than new user registration. You can actually emphasize that look by giving it additional load during the load test. I'm going to only run my one load test, or sorry, my one web test. Hit Next. And go ahead and pick my browser, Internet Explorer 6. I can hit Add here, and I can add additional browsers. So if I want to do Pocket IE or Smartphone or Netscape, all this is doing is determining what the little string is that the browser passes to the web server, because your web server may respond differently based on the browser type. So it may send a different HTML back based on the capabilities of the browser. So your application behaves differently, so the load might behave differently as well. I'm going to get Next. I'm going to go ahead and set up a network mix where we have some people, for some crazy reason, using 28.8 modems, but fortunately, there aren't very many of them. And what this allows the testing infrastructure to do is actually throttle the load a little bit, because if you think about somebody on a dial-up modem, they really can't hurt you that bad from a performance perspective because they can't send and receive data very quickly. So I'm going to hit Next. Now I can set up counter sets. If the remote machine that you are testing is actually capable with counters for you to remote in and hook into those counters, you can monitor CPU utilization, memory, network I/O, disk I/O, all of those things on that remote server. The machine I'll be testing is actually my local demonstration machine here, so I don't need to actually add a counter for that. I'm going to hit Next. I'm going to run my test here for 1 minute. Go ahead and click Finish. Everything that I did during that wizard, I can now modify after the fact here in the load test editor window. So you'll see there's my test mix, my browser mix, my network mix. If I come down here to the run settings, I'm going to select run settings and go to properties. You can actually set up how the data is stored. When you're running load tests, if you're doing them for a prolonged period of time, so some of the customers will actually do this for 24-hour periods to where they're going to just run load for 24 hours. Well, that will generate a lot of data, gigabytes of data in many cases, if you're monitoring a lot of performance counters. So you can actually store that in a database schema. That schema that's provided, you would need to create that. For my purposes, I'm not going to store this in any persistent format, so I'm going to select none there. Go ahead and save this off. You can go through here and actually go to the counter sets. If you're interested in looking at the counter sets for the actual load test itself, you can actually see there's different counter scenarios that you can actually set up. What I'm going to do is actually come in here and simply kick off my load test, and let's go ahead and see what it does. It's going to go ahead and kick that off in the test results window down here. So it's just like running any other type of test. My test is currently running. It does open up this nice little user interface that I have here. And in this user interface, let me resize this just a little bit. There we go. We'll see a graph coming up that allows me to see visually what my load test is doing. I can also see that I'm monitoring what's my user load. So currently I'm sending, you know, 10 users, then I have 30 users and so forth. I'm going to go underneath computers, Notion TFS, that's the name of my server. Go to processor, percent processor time. I'm going to add the processor utilization to my test as well. And you'll see that in my case, percent processor time is right here. That's what's getting hit. It's going out. We can see that that's kind of bouncing around. It started high, went pretty low. So I'm not doing a tremendous amount of load here. My average response time, I can see my average response time coming back from my web server. I can see the request per second coming to my web server. And then, of course, my user load here is steadily ramping up. So now I'm up to 90 users, and then I hit 110, and then my test is just about to finish. Now, while these tests are running, there is this concept of threshold violations. The idea is you can set up threshold violations in your load tests, and your threshold violations would be things such as, you know, this is my average connection wait time here that we're actually looking at. You can look at processor utilization. And the idea is to set up some sort of threshold in your web test to say that my test is going to violate the threshold if my CPU exceeds a certain amount, or if my memory utilization exceeds a certain amount, or my response time becomes too slow. The idea is to run load tests so that they actually give you some indication of whether they passed or failed. You're not doing them just to watch them run and generate load. You're doing them to determine, does my application actually pass, right? You'll see that my test is actually completed down here. So you can set up those individual thresholds, and it's a little bit more advanced to go in and set those things up, but that allows you to go in and metric, are these successful tests? Load tests can be run as part of an automated build process and allows you to really put a lot of stress on servers that you have. You can also do distributed load testing, so you can take this exact same load test, and underneath the test menu, you're going to see there's an option for test controllers. Test controllers control test agents that you can actually set up on your network to do distributed load testing across your machine, your server. That concludes our demonstration for doing load testing of web applications. If you'd like to get additional information on Visual Studio Team System, there's a couple of resources for you. Obviously, the product homepage on msdn.microsoft.com is a great place to start. When you go to the Visual Studio Team System homepage, you're going to have information about how to learn it, how to try it, how to buy it. One great thing to do is to actually go underneath the download sections over on the left. That's going to take you to a page. It's going to have information on what you can actually download. If you go down, there's actually going to be the option for trial software. And notice here under the popular downloads, there's actually a Visual Studio 2005 Team Suite Trial Edition. And there's also Team Foundation Server Trial Edition that you can download. That allows you to test all of the client functionality for 180 days before trying to determine, do you need a particular Team Edition? Do you want Team Suite? What do you actually need to support your development processes in your organization? So that's a very great resource for you. There's also another great resource, Team System Rocks. The Team System Rocks page here, let me actually navigate to the homepage, actually has a Team System news blog, which kind of keeps you up to date on the latest stuff going on with Team System. If you navigate to the tutorials, that's actually going to have tutorial videos that you can watch that have a lot of information about the different features. So notice the ones over here on the left are very short, you know, sometimes 1 or 2 minutes or less. The ones over here on the right are much longer videos. So you'll see 15-minute videos, 24-minute videos on specific topics. So this is a secondary resource you can use as well. So keep both of those in mind as you're trying to learn more about Team System.